You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of the program. And my website is crosstheborder.org. We're going through the Bible. And we're in Numbers. About chapter 15. And let's see. Oh, yes. They found a man who broke the Sabbath. And willfully, I would say, we presume that he had no regard for the word. And Yahuwah said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp." And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as Yahuwah commanded Moses. And, you know, you have a circumstance here where the people bring a man who has broken the law, and an example has to be made, as if enough examples hadn't been made already. But nevertheless, you can't say, well, you know, this one time I'll let it slide, because then all of the children of Israel go, well, you know, hey, we can do whatever we want and disregard the commandments of our Heavenly Father. And then there were those that will always bring an accusation against the God of the Old Testament. And as opposed to the God of the New Testament. Yeah, we love that one. As if there was a different God then. And call him bad names like Jehovah and things like that. And now he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when he decides that your life is over, and most people hopefully will die of old age, if a good ripe old age, no one thinks to bring an accusation against the Creator at that instance, because they're only looking at this life, basically. But the fact is, the death sentence has been placed on all of the seed of Adam from the beginning. And so it is now. It's just up to him how long we live this mortal existence before our death sentence is carried out, the death sentence we're born with. And if he makes a judgment, as he made the capital, capital crime statute, capital punishment statute, that someone murder someone else willfully, that they should die at the hand of man. And he gave that to none other than Noah after he came, you know, after the flood. It was one of the commandments that he handed down to Noah at first, the capital punishment statute. So when men take someone to court for murder and the decision is handed down that they should die for their murder, then the one who carries out that capital punishment is not a murderer, because he's doing so at the command of the Creator of all mankind. Now, there are a lot of men on death row. There's been a few studies, and with the advent of DNA evidence, a lot of people, they found that a great number of people have been freed from their death penalties. And we find out that a lot of zealous prosecutors and policy enforcers, being corrupt men themselves, have lied and fabricated evidence and borne false witness, breaking the commandment, of course, of bearing false, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and condemned and had many men killed by their breach of that commandment, by their lie against their neighbor. And so who bears the sin of murder in that case? Well, whoever fabricated the evidence, whoever lied and brought false witness against their neighbor, they are now the murderer. But though the one who carries out the sentence is not a murderer yet, because he's still carrying out his function, and he believes what he is doing is right, a right judgment according to the law of the Heavenly Father. So the guilt would lay on those prosecutors and policy enforcers who lied and fabricated evidence. And we all know now that this is endemic that people further their careers and become more famous and rise in political stature by the number of prosecutions they make. And whether those prosecutions are righteous or not, whether the evidence is fabricated or not, doesn't seem to matter to these people who I believe have reserved for them a very special compartment in hell where they will be tormented for their crimes forever and ever if they do not repent. And we know that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is very forgiving, because even these people, if they repent from their sins, that they can enter into His kingdom. But it's unlikely that people, it's unlikely that people repent, being that the majority is lost, and as we see demonstrated through the scripture throughout history, and especially in the history we have of the mortal kingdom of God and the national Israel, it's demonstrated over and over that the majority will go astray, but that He always has His remnant is also demonstrated. So, you know, it's my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer, is please, Heavenly Father, let me be one of Your remnant. Teach me obedience, that I might walk in Your kingdom and traverse the gulf of death by the blood of Your Redeemer. And that my sin and my iniquity, the sin and iniquity of my fathers and the corruption of my mortal flesh is not laid to my account, but that I am relieved by the blood of the Lamb. That's my prayer, and I hope it's yours. So that covers capital punishment. And certainly the children of Israel in the mortal kingdom of God were given a lot more statutes for capital punishment than we have for capital punishment. Murder seems to be basically it in the land where I live, and it's only first degree murder. And beyond that, you have second degree murder, which is a murder of passion, and then perhaps third degree murder, or would be more likened to a negligent manslaughter. Through negligence, which should be punished too, but certainly not a capital crime, because it's usually accidental, but through negligence or gross negligence. And then there's accidental death, which can be manslaughter, depending on the circumstances, and or it may not be manslaughter at all. And then there's defense, which is should be excused if you fear for your life, your limb, or the life and limb of your family, you should be able to defend yourself with lethal force, if that is what is necessary, or a lethal defense, if that's what's required under the circumstances. Though, no matter what you do, when someone is killed, you're in for trouble. Whether it's righteous or not, you could end up going up for murder, or even capital punishment by the act of defense. So it's not something that you ever want to do or take lightly. And rightly so. Okay, let's see. We're in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 37. We'll leave off that topic. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a blue ribbon. So they were commanded to, because most people wore a robe of some sort, or a tunic of some sort, and upon I guess perhaps their sleeves or somewhere on this their garments, they were supposed to put a border with a fringe and a blue ribbon, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that when you look upon it, you remember all the commandments of Yahuwah. So they were supposed to put this fringe on their garment as a remembrance, that they knew that fringe was there to remind them of all the commandments of their God, so that they wouldn't forget. It's like the guy who put on his tunic in the morning, and if he saw the blue fringe, he would remember the commandments of Yahuwah, and perhaps he would not go out and work on the Sabbath or he would remember that it's the Sabbath day, I'm not supposed to go out, or whatever his mind might do, but that he would remember that he would put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his commandments, to do that which is right in the sight of his Creator. So he says this, it shall be a fringe, it shall be unto you for a fringe that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahuwah and do them that you seek not after your own heart or your own eyes after which you use to go a whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I, Yahuwah, your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, I am Yahuwah, your God. Chapter 16 of the book of Numbers. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took men. They rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So we have here a ringleader, Korah, and Dathan, and Abiram. And they rose up and they got 250 men to go along with them of the fathers or of the assembly, princes of the assembly, it says here. So they're chief men in their tribes. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. This sounds like the same complaint that Miriam and Aaron brought previously when she was struck with leprosy. But they say, you take too much. So we have this Korah guy, he's standing up there speaking for the 250 men, which he gathered together and brought his murmuring and his complaints, and they're going to bring it to Moses and Aaron. Said, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Yahuwah is among them, wherefore then you lift yourselves above the congregation of Yahuwah. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. This is his, you know, he didn't rise up and curse them. He didn't, you know, try. He fell on his face. And this is the humility and the humbleness of this man, because he's going, oh, no. And he falls upon his face, and he spoke unto Korah and all of his, because he knows where he's standing. Moses knows where he's standing. He's standing before the Almighty Creator of the universe. And these people obviously don't know where they're standing. And he spoke unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow Yahuwah will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen, he will cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company. And it shall be that the man whom Yahuwah doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. And let's say, who's saying that? And Moses said to Korah, hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the congregation of Israel, of the tabernacle of Yahuwah, and to stand before the congregation and minister to them. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee to seek ye the priesthood also. Oh, he says, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron, that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up." He said, "Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land?" Out of a land that flows with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness? And now they're referring back to Egypt. "Except thou make thyself a prince over us." And these people certainly have a lot of complaints. They haven't gone into the land. They murmured against going into the land, and then they wanted to go in when they heard their judgment, and now they're laying it all in Moses, saying, because they're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and they're going to die. Their carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. That was their judgment. So they're sitting around murmuring, getting together, and they bring up 250 people. "Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that flows with milk and honey, or give us inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Will thou put out the eyes of these men, and we will not come up?" And Moses was very wroth, and said unto Yahuwah, "Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." And Moses said unto Korah, "Be thou and all thy company before Yahuwah, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow." So the challenge is, they're going to come tomorrow, and they're going to let, they're going to let Yahuwah decide. "And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before Yahuwah every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you, his censer." And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It sounds like a dangerous thing to do. I mean, these people, they must not have been paying attention for the last couple of years. I mean, I would be afraid to be among this throng. But here they are, so, in their pride and their arrogance, here they come. Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of Yahuwah appeared unto all the congregation. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell upon their faces and said, "O God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" So we have Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." And Moses rose up, and he went unto Dathan and Abiram, the elders of Israel. And the elders of Israel followed him, and the people. And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, "Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." And so, basically what we have going on here is a further purging of the mortal kingdom of God on earth, national Israel in the wilderness. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Looks so much like Abraham, I keep saying it. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. So all of the rest of the congregation, who did not want to stand with them, they got up, they came out, and they left. But Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and their children and their wives, now stood in the door of their tents. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that Yahuwah has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own hand." And that was their complaint. You're doing it. You take too much upon yourself. Why should you be the ruler over all of us? We want our part. Let's have a democracy. Let's let the people vote. Right? And that's basically what they're saying. And I have a friend, you can hear that, who has a tape called Incorporation. He's playing on the name of Korah here in this rebellion, and he's referring to the incorporation of the church with the state, and that the name of that video is the government takeover of the church. So if you want to hear what Robin Wright has to say about incorporation, you can hunt him down and get that tape from him. Very informative. But anyway, we're in Numbers here, chapter 16 and verse 28. I've heard people say I don't give out the verse and the chapter and the reference enough, so I'm trying to do that more and more, so be patient with me. But Numbers chapter 16, verse 28, "And Moses said, 'Hereby you shall know that Yahuwah has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own accord. If these men die, the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then Yahuwah hath not sent me. But if Yahuwah make a new thing, and the earth openeth her mouth, and swallow them up, and all that appertain to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked Yahuwah.' And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground cleaved asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They, and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, 'Lest the earth swallow us up also.' And there came out a fire from Yahuwah, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, 'Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter the fire yonder, for they are hallowed.'" And I believe that we're going to end that with here today. So we'll pick up here next time in Numbers chapter 16, about verse 35. So, you're listening to Cross the Border, and my website is crosstheborder.org. So join me next time.